And the Lord's saying to you today, the only thing broken over you is the enemy's power. The only thing broken over you is the enemy's hold on your mind. If you'll turn yourself to Him completely, He'll show you the way out. He's not finished and He's not done. So don't look at how you feel. Don't look at the circumstances, but look to Him. He has a plan and a purpose for every breath that you breathe. He has a plan and a purpose for every move that you make. Yield to Him right now, this hour, and say, Lord, forgive me for looking at other things instead of You. God, I believe in You. God, I believe in You. I believe in Your Word. I believe what You said. I believe in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. We're going to look at some verses today in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. But before we go there, I want to read, and this is at the end of the notes, Mike, but I want to go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Whew. I'm telling you, He's good. He's been good to me. I just want to testify, He's been good to me. My life hasn't always been easy, but this I can say, that the Lord's been good to me. He's taken care of me. I want to read this, and I want this to become part of your heart. Because we can read it as David said it, or we can say, you know, I'm going to be like David. I'm going to act like him. And I love this. The heading says that the Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It wasn't when he was in the palace, right? It was when he was in the wilderness. He said, O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You, and my flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hand in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. Because You have been my help, therefore in the shadow of Your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackal. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies will be stopped. Amen. See, our focus can't be on the things that oppose us. Yeah. Our focus must be on the One who's for us. In the midst of the wilderness, Lord, I'm going to bless Your name. I'm going to bless You. I'm going to say, You're my God. You're my strength. I like there's one portion in here. It says, verse 6, it says, I will remember You on my bed. How many lay at night worrying? Come on. How many spend a lot of time meditating on everything that's wrong? Everything that could go wrong at night? I know there's several. I'm telling you to switch that. It's going to be a discipline that you need to get into. But when those thoughts come, just get the Scripture out and begin to speak it. Speak it over yourself. Tell your mind, mind, listen, this is what we're going to think about. This is what we're going to meditate on. This is what we're going to go after. Because my God, come on, I'm not speaking to you out of some religious platitudes. I'm telling you with real life stuff. Come on. If we'll start to put our mind on Him. If we'll start to just put Him at the forefront. He's the one that's going to take care of all your problems anyway. Lord, You got this. I'm going to just praise You. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to honor You. Yeah, I know they're coming after me and they're going to do this and they're going to shut this down. They're going to do that and, you know, the inflation's going to take my retirement. Lord, I forget all that. I'm just going to worship You. I'm going to praise You. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, Lord, nor is the seed begging for bread. I just want to honor You and praise You and love You and thank You and glorify You. And if you can't do that because your mind is too heavy, just go to the Psalms and start reading the Psalms to yourself. But read them with strength and vigor. Right? Out loud. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of His benefits. For He forgives all of my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Come on. And if you remember a song of Scripture, sing it. Sing it on your night bed when those thoughts are coming. I'm telling you, it'll change everything. So now it's your choice. I said, now it's your choice. Whether you're going to meditate on your trouble or you're going to meditate on God. Your choice. Hallelujah. He's going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. But it's your choice. You don't understand. Yes, I do. It's time for us to quit singing, I got troubles. Whoa, whoa. Come on. And start singing, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. I will bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, I'll bless His holy name. Great things He hath done, great things He hath done, great things. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. The glory is in this room because He's being honored. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles, it's the story of when Solomon brought the Ark of the presence of God into the temple. And had been planned for years. David wanted to do it, but God said, you can't do it because there's too much blood on your hands. But your son will do it. He'll build me a house where I can dwell. That is so cool. It is so cool. It's almost like God said to Adam, you can't restore my presence into the heart of man. Because there's too much blood on your hands. But my son will restore. Woo, glory to God. He'll restore where the heart of man can be the sanctuary of my presence.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. So good. So good. In verse 1 it says, so that all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the furnishings, and he put them in the treasure of the house of God. I'm not going to go too long into this, but I just want to tell you, some people have the attitude, well, you know, you should be all right to just worship in a barn. You don't need to build anything nice for God. And yes, you should be able to worship in a barn. But God's not all that upset if you build something nice either. In fact, this thing, this temple that they built, now you understand that they got gold and they pounded it really thin and they put it around all the furniture. Gold, now gold. Everything. Gold, right? Everything. Gold, silver. I mean, amazing the amount of money that David had saved up and put in the treasury just for this so that Solomon could do it would blow your mind. Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of gold. Right? Now watch this. Because the place where God dwells is precious to the Lord. Ooh, glory to God. So in this story, I want you to see you. Because God paid an awful lot of a price, a huge price, for you to become the place where he dwells. Glory to God. And watch this. Jesus said, "It is finished." So all the work that Solomon had done at the house of the Lord was finished. All the work that God's ever going to do for you is finished. It's a completed work. And the Bible says that we're complete in Him. Why? Because it's finished. We just have to rejoice in it and begin to believe it and begin to stand on it and begin to act like it's true. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, "Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month." Here's what I need to tell you, is it's important for us to be together. I said it's important for us to get together. I don't need church. Well, that's a lie. But the church needs you. Right? Because we're going to worship together. We're all going to come before the Lord together. God's done a great work in us individually, but when we come together. And the reality is, if you don't like church now, you're not going to like heaven very much. Because, you know, in heaven, all they do is think about God. And in heaven, they have spontaneous worship times all the time. In fact, if one guy at the back row starts it, then all of heaven joins in. The elders fall on their face. Glory to God. I can't wait for heaven. It's going to be so good. And from every, I love this. Just imagine this, from every tribe and tongue and nation. Now, I know that in heaven, languages and everything is a little bit different. But did you know, this is kind of interesting. Did you know, as far as I know, in every language in the world, alleluia is the same? Right? So you can be in Africa where they don't speak any English, or in Denmark, or, you know, in China, and just start singing, alleluia. Hallelujah. 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 And everybody's going to join in. Woo! Glory to God. There's something about the presence of God. I'm going to try to stick to my notes, but I might not. But watch this. We were in Costa Rica one time, just Renita and I, and we were actually with some, let's just say, lukewarm believers. I'll just put it that way. I think that's stretching it a little bit. But they knew we were pastors, and they were so excited because right next to the house that we were thinking about purchasing, there was a church. And they said, man, these guys, on Wednesday or Thursday, I don't remember which day, but they get there about noon, and they pray loud, they said, until about 4 o'clock, so 4 hours praying. And they didn't know it, but I knew that they were praying in the Spirit for 4 hours, the church interceding, right? So that church wasn't having a service that week, so they said, but we heard of, and the people that we were staying with were Christians, and they said, oh, but in the next town, the next village, they have a service tonight. And so this couple that we were with was really impressed to take us there. They wanted us to experience that. So we walked in, and the worship service was going when we walked in. And you just sense the presence of God. And so I didn't know all the words, obviously, but where I didn't, I just sing the melody in tongues. Right? And here's the deal. It's the same presence that I feel here right now. Why? Because it's the presence of God. It's for every tribe and every tongue. So we need to come together and let the love of God take us into His presence. Building a place for His presence. And we must worship on purpose. I'm going to church on Sunday, not because I have to, but because I want to. And I'm going to worship the Lord. If no one else does, I'm going to worship You, Lord. But I'll tell you, if we all have that attitude, glory to God. Great things will happen. Verse 4 says, so all the elders of Israel came and the Levites took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. And the priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon, all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark, were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for the multitude. Animal rights group would not have liked this procession. But they were, watch this, they were shedding blood all the way. We need to plead the blood when we're coming into worship. It's the blood of Jesus that allows us to go into the tabernacle. It's the blood of Jesus that calls us holy. It's the blood of Jesus that made it right so that we could come boldly before His throne of grace. It's the blood of Jesus where I can have an expectation that He's with me here right now. It's the blood of Jesus that allows me to understand that when I'm laying on my bed and everything's swirling all around me, that God, I can have confidence that You're with me and that You're for me. It's not how much I prayed, it's not how much I did, but it's because of the blood that was shed. So before I bring the sacrifice of praise, I'm going to remember the blood that was shed. Because it's the entrance into the presence. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 7 says, then the priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, to the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. Do you understand that when you go before the Lord of God, the Lord God, with an attitude that this book, the Bible, is the very presence of God? And so when you're going into the sanctuary, say, Lord, I'm setting myself aside in Your presence based on what You've written. Right? It's all about You. I'm coming not because I think I'm right, not because I think I'm all of that, but I'm coming because You said I could, and Your Word says, ooh, glory to God. Verse 8 says, for the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. Do you know the cherubim in the top of the ark was covered with the mercy seat? I just love that. I just love that. Why? Because in the ark was the Word of God and the tablets of the law and all of that. But over that was the mercy seat. What does that mean? For me, it means I know that I'm not all of that. I don't do everything right. But His mercy seat even covers the Word of God when I mess up. His mercy covers all of that. And His angels are there to administer His mercy to my heart and to my situation. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? Because He's my God. He's my fortress. Verse 9 says, the poles extended so the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from the outside. And they were there. They are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priest of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present, had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. This is so important this morning. In our worship on purpose is the sanctification. What does that mean? Ritually, if you went back and you looked in at the law of Moses and what they had to do certain things in order to be holy enough to do the service that they were going to do. But this verse here said that they sanctified themselves. I'm going to show you in a minute that God has sanctified us. And let me just read this, what sanctified means. And I want you to apply it to your heart, especially when you're going into prayer, or you're going into worship, or you're just coming before His presence. To sanctify, it's so awesome. It means to consecrate, sanctify, prepare, dedicate, be hallowed, be holy, be sanctified, be separate. In other words, Lord, I'm coming into Your presence and I'm separating myself from me and from everything else, and I'm just believing that I'm with You. I come just like I am, Lord. I'm not trying to put on airs or anything else. I want to be real with You, but I really am in Your presence because of the blood. And I separate myself to You. We could go. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Verse 1, it says, and then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate or sanctify to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. In other words, separate those that are born. Now watch this. They marked them with circumcision. But the Bible says that through Jesus, our hearts have been circumcised. We've been separated unto Him. But we also, when we got born again, whether you know it or not, whether anybody told you or not, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you separated yourself to Him. I'm no longer my own. I no longer belong to me. I belong to Him. So I'm separating, or I'm consecrating, or I'm sanctifying myself to Him. And in that, it means that, you know, He's holy, I mess up, but my pursuit is His holiness, not mine. Yeah. Right? In other words, if He says do, I'm going to do. If He says don't, I'm not going to do. I want Him more than I want my own pleasure. And that's tough because we're all basically, at the core, selfish and self-centered and all of that. But if we're going to consecrate ourselves to Him, then it's the Lord. I've got to tell my feelings to shut up. I've got to tell all of that because I'm laying myself at Your feet and I'm separating myself to You. Let's go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 10. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in the cities, whether it's bloodshed, offenses against the law or commandment, against the statutes or ordinance, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against... Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong place. That's not... I'm thinking, that's not right. I turned somewhere else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, I'm in the right place now. Exodus chapter 9, verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today, and tomorrow let them wash their clothes. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people. That's what I'm doing right now. I said, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm going to the people. I'm saying, consecrate yourself. Sanctify yourself. Hallelujah. If you look down now at verse 14, it says, so Moses went down the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Moses was in the presence of God, and when God, he left, he said, now you go to the people and sanctify them, separate them, and have them wash their clothes. I can't wash your clothes. Right? I can't wash your clothes. Well, I won't wash your clothes. I can't wash your clothes. But you need to take your clothes to Him. Verse 22, it says, and let also the priests come near and consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. What does that mean? I don't do this 100% of the time, and I haven't over the lifetime of my ministry, but when I stand before you, I need to consecrate my heart to the task that God has put me before. Right? And then it's like, Lord, I'm separated unto this, and I can't let people take me away from it. Right? I can't let distractions, I can't let their opinions, I can't let anything invalidate what you put before me. Whether we're on the worship team, whether we're on prayer team, whether we're going out today to hand out things, Lord, we're consecrating ourselves to do your work. So we need your presence with us. We need to live consecrated. Now go into the New Testament. The New Testament in Ephesians. Chapter 5, we're going to read a few verses. He's holy. He's made us holy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
If you found Ephesians chapter 5, we'll go there in a minute, but I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's not in my notes, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a verse that is amazing to me. And I fully can't comprehend it, but it means so much to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, it says, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus. Who does that apply to in here? All of those who are born again, right? All of those. So I can put me in here. But of Him, I'm in Christ Jesus, who became for me wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So my righteousness, my sanctification, and my redemption is in Him, and me being hid in Him. Isn't that good? He's made me holy. He's made me righteous. And that's what I stand in. But I don't take that with a cavalier attitude or neglect the price that was paid. I rejoice in the fact that He is with me and for me. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, this is a scripture that we often use with husbands and wives and all of that. But really, the scripture that Paul is referring to, he was using the marriage as an analogy, but this is a relationship between Jesus and His church. And in verse 26, I'm going to read 25 also. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. See, how does God continue the process of sanctification? How do you wash yourself with water when you're coming into His presence? Is you do it through the Word of God. You line yourself up with the Word of God, and if you're struggling with anything, Lord, I'm going to submit to Your Word rather than my feelings and whatever it takes. Now, I don't think this is necessary. I don't think it's right. But there are churches, and in the Catholic Church that I grew up in, many times that there are people who lived in monasteries and cloisters, and if they wanted to be holy so much that if they had thoughts that weren't right, they'd take these whips that they had on their hand and they'd fillet their backs. Because I don't I don't necessarily agree with the process, but in actuality, the principle to me is sound. In other words, I'm not telling you to beat yourself up, but what I am saying, take the severity of your thoughts and don't let it allow it to continue to go on, and do whatever is necessary for you to get your thoughts back with where they need to be. Right? Why? Because I'm letting the water of the Word sanctify me, make me holy, separate me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, go to First. This is so awesome. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Hallelujah. And look at verse 23. I love this. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. It's so cool. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you, separate you, place you in a position of holiness. And I like this. Spirit, soul, and body. Well, you know, I'm born again. My spirit's right with God. That's awesome, and I believe that's true. But God wants to do a process where the other part gets in line also. Right? So not only our spirit, and that's where it starts, that's who's made new and made fresh, but He wants that spirit and the work that He's done on the inside to come to the outside. That may be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many have ever thought about His coming and go, Lord, I just hope I'm ready. I don't want to miss the train. I don't want to miss, right? There's different depictions of it, but thinking about a bar where there's a Christian at the bar and he leads somebody to the Lord and the guy gets saved right on the spot and the rapture happens. He goes up, but the Christian's there. I don't know how that works. I don't even know if that would work. But there should be enough fear of the Lord that says, Lord, I want to spend my life with you, sanctifying me or setting me apart, because I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. I want to worship you from a place of holiness. I want to worship you where you're the center theme of my attention and not me. Hallelujah. Okay, flip over to Hebrews. Y'all getting something this morning? I'm trying to bring us, and I sense it's already happening, but I'm trying to bring us into the place where His presence is more and more and more, not attainable, because that's not the right term, but more present, more people know it. They know it. They know it. I'll give you an example of that in just a minute, but in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us therefore go forth to Him outside the camp, bringing reproach. Look, at Jesus already bore our sin, right? And our sanctification. But again, His holiness in a place. We were at the old building, this was several years ago. But the church service was over, but we were praying for people, and it was probably a half hour after everybody left. And we're just in a place of worship and praying for people, and the presence of God was so thick in the room. Marcy and Jim Sellers had been, they didn't come to church that morning, but they were in their, you know, fifth wheel on the property. And Marcy came up because she wanted to talk about something. And she came up, she said, she came into the room and came to the doors to go into the sanctuary. And she said, she got there and she said, I couldn't come in because I didn't want to disrupt what I felt in the spirit. Right. I desire that. But it's going to take all of us to sanctify ourselves to the Lord and to His purposes and His plans for our life. One more. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 3. And verse 15. This is what I want to leave you with this morning. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. The great apostle Peter was preaching to people that he'd established in the faith. And he said, listen, I want you to set aside the Lord or put Him in His proper place in your heart. And this morning I'd ask that we'd all do that, right? And that we'd get to the place that where we'd separate ourselves unto Him. Now watch what happened in the Old Testament when this happened. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. He wants to do so much with you. I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, and indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters, the singers, were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good and His mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Now, this is talking like the whole worship team got up and the priests were about doing their trimming the wicks and doing everything that they were doing to minister for the Lord and for the people. But the glory of God came in so much that they couldn't do it anymore because of the awe of God that hovered over that building. I've experienced that at times, but I'm hungry and I'm thirsting for more of that. And together, I want us to come into the presence of God, sanctify ourselves, and just say, Lord, have your way in us. It was a Sunday night, and there weren't many of us, because not many people came on Sunday night. But it was in the spring, I think, and we were just worshiping the Lord, and I don't think had any musicians that night, and we just began to worship the Lord, and the presence of God came in the room. And I tell you, at the other building, I've seen the cloud, the glory of God, come into the room to where it was so thick that I couldn't see the back two rows in the building. I mean, it was just, and there were people sitting there, but I couldn't see them. But watch this. This particular evening, we were sitting in His presence, and the presence of God came down, and everybody was silent. Nobody moved, and I think there were a few kids in the room. Nobody moved. And it wasn't just for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I forget how long it was, but it was at least 20 minutes. And I'm telling you, no one moved. Nobody said a word. Because His presence was so there. And that nothing needed to be said. See, that's my goal. That's what all this is about. This is He deserves our praise. He deserves our glory. But we have to individually sanctify Him in our hearts. And when we come together, I worship You, Lord. I just worship You. On purpose, I'm coming to worship You, God. It doesn't matter necessarily what they're singing. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. God, this is between me and You, and I want to worship You and praise You and honor You. And I love what Misty did today. Misty came up here because she wanted to be in the presence of God, and there was too many distractions elsewhere because she needs God. How many need God today? Right? Let's create an atmosphere where He can come down and do great things in us so that He can do great things through us. Amen? Amen. If I could have the worship team come up. Father, I just thank You for today. I thank You for Your word that's gone forth. Lord, I want to just sanctify myself in Your presence, Lord. I repent of putting me before You and putting others before You. And right now, I just want to separate myself for Your glory. Father, for all of those that are watching online right now, I just pray that Your Shekinah glory would come into their hearts and touch them in Jesus' name. If they need healing in their bodies, thank You for healing them. If the enemy is messing with them, I just bind the spirits over them. And in Jesus' name, I thank You, God, for supplying every one of their needs. In the holy and the matchless name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. If you don't know Jesus, make Him the Lord of your life. He loves you, God loves you, and He wants you to be in His presence. In Jesus' name, amen.